I had people come by with the best words.
Now, were there any people in her shop? There were no people in the union.
No, they were talking about it already. That's the time that they were talking, and that I found out that there is a union already, but it's not big enough, and they're working in it. So I ended up there. Well, from her place, I couldn't go to join the union, because the union was only occupying factories, and she was sort of back in here. So then I feel I decided to go to a factory, because they pay better, you make better money, and there's more system to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed with her for a while, and then we went to a factory, and we had to learn the factory type of work.
Do you remember how long you stayed with her?
I think it must have been about, not too long, about 7 or 8 months.
Mm.
Yeah. It was good, but I wanted to go to a factory, and the factory was already joining the union.
What were your, how many hours a day did you work for her?
More, I would say we were getting there about 8:30 in the morning till about 6 o'clock in the evening.
What were the conditions like?
Working. Not pushing it too much, but working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And again, that was all women?
Yeah, all women.
And then what was the first factory job that you got then?
The first factory job, they began to teach me how to become an operator. See, a dressmaker is one thing and an operator is another thing.
But what is the difference?
A dressmaker is fit on the person and then you adjust it. But an operator, they give you a bundle. And the bundle may be 6 garments. And you have to know how to run it. What to make first, the cloths and the colors, and give them to the baster, and then it goes to the presser, and then it comes back to you. This is factory work. And I wasn't used to it. It took quite a little while. So they trained me. And see, it's a certain wash, but they paid a little bit better.
How large was the factory?
Oh, it was a big factory, I'd say. It must have been about. They may have made it about 25 or 30 machines. That time it was large.
And that was all women? Or that
no,
was the men?
Now? And the cutters, the presses. Yeah, quite a lot of men working. Some of them even by the machine, not too many though, but most men during the heavier work, like coats and suits and slacks and things like that.
Now, that was the first time then that you worked with men?
With men, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they took us to the union get-togethers and decided the whole city wasn't exactly organized. It's quite a number of them, but then they went out and they started there. It's quite hard to organize. And it didn't take too long.
Now, when was that?
Then, that was about the end of 1914. Yeah. And then I decided I went up on strike with them a few times, and they already even paid a little bit strike benefit.
Was the strike just for your factory or citywide, around the
city?
Citywide.
Yeah.
Of all dressmakers?
Yeah. Certain sections were organized, so then the sections that opened up new factories and came and we tried to organize them. Yeah.
Now, was your own factory organized then?
Yes.
It was?
Locomotive 22.
So you joined that when you started working in the factory?
Then I decided to go to Cleveland to see my brother. From there, we wrote to each other and he sent me a ticket. And I went to Cleveland. And I didn't want to go back to New York. Then I stayed in Cleveland for a while. It's already organized.
Well, how long did you stay in New York then? From
New
the
York.
Time you came on the boat to when you went
about,
to Cleveland?
About a year and a half or so.
And did, in that time, you went out to other factories then?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about those experiences and going to other factories and trying to organize?
Yes, I was hired. I did workers, you know, all kinds of people. They told, he came over and he asked how the new workers doing. He came up a few of them. And nobody answered. So he called me into the office and then he came up and told us to get out. Because they were told that the union organizers you know, leg piece or whatever you call it. And we had a lot of trouble. That was when I believe I started on my 18. Because I began to be troubled. So I didn't have any money saved up, and if I would be fired, he'd come up from out of place and ask you, where did you work before? You're afraid to mention the name. Nothing doing in this.
Now, what did you do when you organized exactly? Was this after work you would go to other places?
For a job?
No, when you were trying to organize the new factory.
No, at work. You go out in the afternoon for lunch or coffee or something, you meet people and you try to, where are you working? And you know, you got a good job? Yeah, is it a union shop? No. Oh, and start to talk. Come up to a meeting and you'll find out how much you'll benefit by it. And which is true, and a lot of times you make success. I mean, that's how unions got organized, otherwise.
Now, were you talking to men then too, or just the women when you were organizing? Always just the women?
The men talked to me.
Uh-huh. Were you involved in the union activity in your own shop?
Not there. No, not in New York yet. Not until I came to Chicago. In Pilgrim, I helped out too, but really you're involved in that in Chicago.
Oh, so then you lost your job in New York.
I lost my job, and then you had total surrender to Pilgrim, and my brother already lived there for quite a while, and he had a lot of acquaintances, and he told him, and naturally it didn't take long, and they took me up to another shop there. And they were fairly well organized, not completely. So I went up to the union there too.
Was this a big shop? That?
Yeah, it was a very big shop.
Do you recall how many workers there would have been?
No, it was a very big shop, really big shop. And I stayed there for a little while, and my brother, the other brother, the older one lived in Chicago. And Chicago is very close to Cleveland. So one holiday, I decided to take off and go over to Chicago, by plane of course, not plane, to see my other brother, my sister-in-law, and they had children. And my brother talked me into a man in Chicago. It's the biggest city, and it has better opportunities for you, and they have a big family there, still have. And so I went back to Cleveland, and I packed up and went to Chicago.
Okay, why don't we wait to talk about Chicago next time, and tell me more about the union activities in Cleveland.
In Cleveland, they were already beginning to organize very nicely, And I met a lot of people that were involved, and appreciated that I knew personally then, so they took me up on these and gave me a better job that wasn't a union shop.
Oh, I see. And then you then organized that shop.
Not myself, of course, with help, but they had somebody there to bring up literature, to let people know, and they put me up there.
Now, you didn't get paid by the union as an organizer at all?
I wasn't a hired organizer. Yeah. There are people that are specialists in that. But these are just workers that are active that help out.
Mm-hmm.
No. The only time I did start to get paid by the union is when they would take me off on strike. They would take me off to help other workers on the strike, so they give me a strike benefit.
But so you went from the union shop then, that you were working in, to the non-union shop?
Several times. In that non-union shop that organized, they take me up again, put me someplace else.
Was that in Cleveland only? Was that in New York too?
Yeah. No, in New York I didn't have that experience, in Cleveland. The first experiences I began to have with these kind was in Cleveland.
I see. So how long would you stay at one shop, say, when you first got to Cleveland and got the first job?
The first job, about 4 months, I think it was. Yeah, because I remember I came there, beginning to get cold. It was about in November or so. And then before Pesach, I decided to go to my brother in Chicago. Then I came back and packed up and went back to Chicago. About 4 or 5 months.
So how many different factories did you work at in Cleveland?
Three.
You didn't have trouble every time you moved, and they knew you'd come from another shop?
No trouble. No. It'd be a little hardship, you know, to get adjusted after you know a place and you know the people, and then all you get a day, and you have no reason to tell. But say I'm going to my brother, all kinds of lies.
And each of those shops would then get organized and you'd go to another one. Did other people move from shop to shop with you, or you were the only one?
Well, not myself. Mm-hmm. I never functioned all alone. Always with people, and most of the time the people are a little bit older than I.
Now, what was the age of most of the women working in these places? Were they older, or were they a lot your age?
A little bit older, but not old, I would say. No, too old. 18, 20, 22.
They weren't very small girls there anymore.
The rest of those small girls is in Europe. When I came to New York, I began to see young girls, 15, 16, but not babies. And they worked. They tried very hard. Some of them were remarkable, much other than some of them.
How much did you make in Cleveland then, when you were working in those places in Cleveland?
Oh, about $8-$10 a week.
Oh.
Those years is a lot of money. Don't underestimate.
Because the figures I've read of some of the early shops in New York in like 1911, before that big strike, was about $4 a week. So
that's
you were making quite a bit
more. In New York, $4 a week, and that was a lot of money. Because that was a green home, as they called it. Most of the made $4 a week were already grown up, but she gave me $4 a week. But in Cleveland, I began to, I started with $8, and then I got a raise, and then they then lowered to Peaceway.
And you
know
how
the difference between Peaceway and, you know, the difference between section work and Peaceway?
No, section work, I don't.
It's very important to know.
What
that
is
the newest life? Not recently, it's very, they, instead of giving a person a full garment, he never find out what to do this and what to do that. They divide the bundle into different sections. Now one person sits and does all the sleeves. Another person sits and makes all the colors. Another person then puts together the things. And a third person would sit selling the zippers, just a zipper worker. I have already a friend, Helen Brooks. She did all the zippers. That's section, division. That gives a lot of speed. You see, you don't have to paint and pin together and put together or give it over to base. It just flies over, and that's the fastest thing. And you get paid by the hour, because you can pay a piece worker, so you get paid by the hour, section work. But that's only in a cheaper line. In the line that I didn't do it.
Oh, so you never did section work?
No, I'm not good at that. I'm not a producer. No, I'm the particular type. Yeah. But I saw them being done, because when I helped them organize, I found out all these things about section work, and which took me a long time to understand how you can do it. But you'd be surprised, they sit and shoot like a machine itself.
Now that was in Cleveland that you first started seeing the section work?
In Chicago.
In Chicago. Oh, in Cleveland it was still all piecework.
Piecework and by the hour. Better lines are always paying by the hour. Because piecework takes a long time, but the expensive dress cannot be rushed. And I always wanted a better line. All my life, by year.
Now, would that be within the same factory, or you would be at a different factory with
the
better line?
Yes, different entirely, no. Same factory, one factory owns a certain line, and that's all. They can't mix up.
Did you find it more difficult to organize the workers who were in different kinds of factories, like the ones in the better lines? Were they harder to organize?
Yes.
What was their...
They were afraid, because it wasn't too many. It was more of a smaller field, the better line. It still is, and it was hard to reach them, because they felt that they were being treated well from their estimation. And we didn't want to organize them just because they weren't treated well or anything, so it took a long time to penetrate.
Were they getting paid more than the people in the other factories?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Always. Still do. And always will. Because it requires more skill. You know, people that are not so skillful have to work in a cheaper line, but a little less. And wash a little more. The better line cannot be washed so much.
So that in Cleveland, the women that you were trying to organize were involved in these better lines, but you ultimately did organize them.
Yeah. That could be quite a nice organized city.
Now, once these people were organized into the union, were there any demands made immediately of the factory? Did the union make demands? right away?
Oh, yes.
First they did?
Yes.
What kind?
Like certification. Right. Like some kind of sick benefit. Not to the way it's in progress, but in the beginning. Like a little bit better conditions. Yeah. It wasn't easy to get.
But there usually wasn't demands for pay increase.
Yes.
In the beginning.
Yes.
There was.
All of a sudden, a bit more increase.
So, for instance, when you would go to a new factory to organize, what would happen once? What was the sequence of events that would happen when you would try to organize, and then once they did organize?
Well, it wasn't too good. Yeah. The workers didn't believe it either. And the workers, most of the workers, the great majority, were immigrants. And immigrants are always afraid of their security. It's a terrible insecure feeling, without language, without writing, without reading, without speaking. And what if I can't find a job? What if they wouldn't want to talk to you? It's just many times impossible. You can build up just like that. Very, very hard. Not so much until it reached the firm, that's the story by itself, but the workers itself. Leave me alone. And then we found out that many of the workers could take work home. They would apply and make a little extra money at home. So instead of taking work home, they would try to pen with them to their homes and they saw it. Watch and find out that a certain bundle is being carried over or whatever, and they made it much cheaper at home, they brought it. So naturally there would be a layoff in the shop, and then it reached us and went to their homes. That was a very, very big problem. To make him understand that instead of taking work home and taking little jobs of other people and working for so cheap, let's get raises. They were frightened to death. And so the reason that they demanded from us to work for the union is because we could penetrate them better than Americans. We are also immigrants. So to Americans, they would say, well, you feel secure or whatever. But to me, they couldn't say that. I go out of my way to want to do it because of the betterment of the future. So we penetrate, but it took many, many years. Great many years.
Now, when you were organizing then, were you using Yiddish primarily?
Yes.
So they were all Jewish workers,
mostly,
all Jewish immigrants?
Mostly, yeah. Because those that weren't Jewish, we had to find one that was their line. Yeah, I couldn't express myself in English to them that way.
Like, well, in New York, for instance, were most of the women working with you in New York Jewish? And in Cleveland, there must have been a lot of like Hungarians and
Slovaks. Yeah, a few, more than in New York, but still were plenty of Jewish that I cling to. Because that's where I was could communicate. This is the purpose. Yeah. But as I said, it was very hard to penetrate. We had to take him up on his pike. He almost threatened it. They just wouldn't go. See, it took long until they began to realize you can't build up, stand up like that, you know, all of a sudden. And you come and you get a couple of dollars a week, that you stopped all these years that you, before you came. See, and then the boss would find out, and he would come out, and he would call in all of them, and he would give them a little something extra. And that settled it. So when you came in the morning, out you go, he said, look up. So that walking out is bad enough, but getting into another place, you have to say all kinds of lies. You sometimes even say you haven't worked anywhere yet.
Now, when you were involved in first in New York and then in Cleveland, in the union, were you involved in other revolutionary activities or just the union?
Just the union.
Just the union. And were most of the other people organizing really very revolutionary?
Yes.
Were there many Gentiles organizing, or was it mainly Jews?
Yes, not at all, no. I did not like it.
What was the
also
relation?
Friends, not
oh, what, Irish and?
Polish. Mm-hmm. Mostly Polish and Russian. And Italian, quite a few.
And there was no anti-Semitism? The relationship was?
Occasionally, yeah. Occasionally, you could feel. That's right. Especially those that were hard to reach. They try to discourage you by making you feel that you're not wanted, you're not accepted. They were afraid that you want to take him out because you want to put Jewish people out. Mm. It's very hard to penetrate. It takes a long time for them to feel what you mean to them. Now it's not hard at all, I would say. Sometimes a little difficult, but not the way it was that time. They were positive that we came for there to push them up and put us outside. Mm. Because they know that we went through an awful lot of struggle in Russia. By the way, they didn't want to know where you come from, Russia, protect themselves.
I think that from that time period.
From the European material,
yeah. Yeah, or when you first got to New York or Cleveland, things that we may not have covered that you remember that would be interesting.
I can't think of anything that I didn't get.
Most of the notes that you made were for later about the
so certain things to remember, no. the names. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to tell you about certain activities. Mm-hmm. And there are certain activities that have specific names.
But that's all for later in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
After you left Brest-Litovsk, you never saw your parents again?
No.
Just the two brothers who came to the United States?
They came before me.
Oh, they were here before you?
The brothers, yeah, they were there before me. Then they didn't want to go to the army. So one came in 1908, one came in 1910. And all of them were there.
During the war? So before?
No, during this...
The Second World War.
Yeah. During the Hitler regime. Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned before the pogroms. Was that in Poland or in
Brest-Litovsk? It was in Poland too, but I wasn't in Poland during the pogrom. But I was in Brest-Litovsk during too.
And how long did that last?
Pogrom?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, because we were hiding. Mm-hmm. That it was over on that.
I remember. And the whole family hid?
No, not everybody. I was working, and I was going home. That was in Brest-Litovsk. And then met with a revolutionary talking about the definition of overthrow of the government, no matter what we do, if we pay our lives, we pay for our purpose. And that's what I began to understand sense. Because if you're not secure, if you're not accepted in school, you're not letting in as a professional of any kind, what are you going to sit in bed to be beaten up again? That was the most logical thing I ever heard of. That's it. I have to tell you a little bit, but that's also from Brest-Litovsk. My father, as I said, was very alert of what I was connected with. He was worried, very worried. And I didn't blame him because there was all kinds of things happening. So one evening, I was sitting, I don't remember exactly who else was in the room, and he said to me, he called me Malkara. What are you really trying to do all of you? Put on a vest and everything. I said, well, we're trying to overthrow the government. Just like that. He says, he had a good sense of humor. You know, I have it written down. He says, could you imagine a charity grown up here? This is how true this is going to be. It's impossible, for hundreds of years that they have a family that goes one after the other, one after the other. I said, but it has to happen. If everybody goes to heaven, it has to happen. Well, when I was in America already, in 1917, a little bit over 1917, in October was the revolution, and that was quite a little bit later, he wrote me a letter, and I have it. Of course, you can read it so well, yell the paper. And he says, you know, Malkava, the cherry tree grew up. That was the last letter I ever had. And they were thrown out of the city was burned. You know, that's a very tragic history. And I kept planning of seeing them and elsewhere. And I did go to Europe, but they were none of us alone.
So actually, during the First World War, then they were thrown out of the
Then they came back.
I see.
But the Second World War,
they
were destroyed completely. Because Hitler occupied. Until Russia joined with Poland, it's on the borderline, and they took it back, the people were.
Did you, if it wasn't for this young man, do you think you would have stayed in Russia and worked for the revolution? It was primarily the Romantic. Now, did you see him when you came to New York?
Yeah.
And did that?
A disappointment.
Oh.
Big disappointment.
So you were a revolutionary from about the age of 10 or something.
I think it is far like one of us.
Do you remember, you mentioned before that you did have some memories of the 1905 revolution. Were there people that you knew involved in it, or you just observed it?
I just observed it. And then to see what was going on. They were marching on the main street there, Shusena Yalitza. And you want to know what they were marching was going on, and you were told, and you were very intrigued about it. Yeah, but that was too young, too childish to have anything to do with it. But it, I feel that it entered there. And it never disappeared. There never was depression or all kinds of troublemaking. This comes back to me. Sometimes almost a little bit of despair. That for so many years, with so many experiences that the world is not talking about me, people haven't learned how to manage life in a more systematic way. I don't let it teach me, but it's a very big disappointment. In a million one days, that can be a book by itself. So it's like maybe around what my enthusiasm as a child built up. I mean, I don't dislike people at all, but terrible big disappointments in everything, even in ideology. The ideal doesn't fall by the wayside, but the reconstruction of it, the management of it, two different things. But so maybe I went too high or too rich in my ideology thinking.
Did you ever think after the revolution about going back to the Soviet Union?
Yes, that's right. I was thinking, but my father didn't encourage me. Because it took many, many years, because he didn't watch me. I wanted to see what it was like, I care. So I did go back, but that was so many years later, not the one in there. I traveled around a lot of countries, but I spent 32 days just in Russia alone.
Now, were your brothers also involved in the revolutionary movement, or not? They were not. And they were never involved in the union? They were in the union, but
yes,
not?
Yes, they were in the union,
but they weren't organized.
My brother and children was very active in the Carpenters Union. In fact, they spoke about it even when I was there some years ago. That he was still alive, I think. But not revolutionary.
So you were the only one in your family, really? Wasn't it very unusual for a girl at that age to be?
No, I wouldn't say it was. No. A lot of families, but I did feel there were some children that could be given to words and struggle. You have to join the union, and in the union you meet people that push you even to other sites. And well, I like that. I always mingle with it. Still do.
But like when you came to New York, it was your political activity was the union. You didn't go to all the meetings that the socialists and the anarchists and everybody was having. It was all with the union.
That's it. And sometimes a little bit new cultural side, I always have a desire for dramatic groups or musical groups or something. I would go in there for enjoyment. But the ideology was the workers' life, including my own involvement, and I didn't know my children.